Hey Ventures, welcome to another episode of Venture Maidens. First off, we appreciate you listening to our podcast so much, seriously. But if you're looking to level up your support, we have so many avenues to do that. You can simply leave us a rating or a review on iTunes or Spotify, or follow us on social media. We have everything, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you name it, you can find us there. As always, we want to thank our awesome Patreon donors for literally getting us to where we are today. We want to thank Emily Mayo for our super fire theme song and also Sirenscape for providing additional ambient music. This week, we would love to direct you towards our merch shop. Not only can you get sweet swag to rep VM wherever you go, but if you missed out on any of our previous Patreon reward zines, you can grab all of them right there. Now, last time on the Venture Maidens. Our heroes barely survived an attack from a group of quicklings, who only scattered after they had stolen some hair from each adventurer. A dryad had arrived on the scene asking if they were okay following their ordeal, and she conveniently turned out to be Tandy, the person that they were looking for. Tandy led them back to the Witch's Brew and consequently asked them to run the bar while she tried to get them any leads on bounty hunting jobs. After meeting a whole bunch of interesting creatures and seeing a curious portrait of Tandy next to someone who looks an awful lot like Rook, the Dryad returned to tell them that she found someone to talk to them about work in the morning. Enjoying this mixed success, they met back up with Rook and told her the news about their hair and the possibility that it had fallen into the hands of a hag.
Yeesh.
All right, and that's where we left off. That's it for me, folks. Let's get into this episode now, shall we?
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. Though down a number, our crew can't slumber. They must head off to dreamland to hunt a peddler of sand. Don't close your eyes as we head into Campaign 2, Episode 8, Dreamweaver.
Live, and we are live. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's another episode of Venture Maidens. Thank you all so much for being here for episode 8 of Campaign 2 of the Venture Maiden Show podcast. Welcome. If you're brand new, hey, we're a D&D 5th edition actual play podcast and stream set in a homebrew world called The Plains, which is currently being detailed written in the Venture Maidens campaign guide, which is coming out so soon. Oh my god, so soon, you guys.
I can't believe how soon.
So if you like what we do here, there's gonna be a whole book about it coming out soon. But yeah, we should also mention before we dive in, this is a very adult-themed stream. So you're gonna see lots of violence, lots of, badassery of all kinds. Specifically also for tonight's episode, content warnings do include drug use. Specifically narcotics, so if that is a trigger for you, this may not be the episode for you to watch. But with that, let's go ahead, let's dive in. Hey everybody, my name is Celeste Conowich, and tonight I will be your Dungeon Master.
Hello, I'm Katie, and I'm going to be playing Luviri Sath, your Drow Rogue.
And I am Sage, and I am here to be your bard who is so ready to get this bounty hunting job.
And you might notice that tonight Nassim is not here with us for good reason. Nassim is off doing fun things with her family, but also in game, you know, we're going to have a very special episode for next time focusing on Tony specifically and what she is doing during this time. But yes, it's just our two maidens tonight facing the dread that is this campaign. Will I survive? I don't know. Maybe if you donate enough subs and bits, but we'll see.
No pressure.
Maybe I will. No pressure. Please like us. That is where we are going to be picking up. So actually where we're really, really picking up is a little bit fast forward in time. So at the end of last episode, you had finished talking to Tandy. Tandy had basically told you like, hey, I can't help you right now, but I have some friends who used to be bounty hunters. They're going to be here tomorrow, so just come back, like, first thing in the morning. they'll help you out. And with that, you had to leave. You met up with Rook. You had learned that lovely bomb about, oh no, hags having my hair, bad news. So with that, you had all walked out of Coven, gone back to sleep at the chicken hut for the night. A little bit afraid now of what some hag out there has your hair and the implications of that. So the night had passed and the morning had rolled around. And as you all had been preparing to go to head back into Coven, a couple of different things had happened that have led you now to just Lou and Aoife standing right in front of the door about to walk into the Witch's Brew and meet these people. One, Rook had made something for you all. So right now, draped around your necks are these large satchels. They just look like burlap that's been tied off with just a rough piece of rope. They're ugly, like extremely ugly and bulky, and they smell terrible. You don't know what's in them, but it's crunchy and soft in all the wrong ways, and it smells god-awful. But she had told you, do not take these off. Do not take these off until I deal with this hag problem, okay? And basically with that, she had gone off on her own to apparently deal with this issue, leaving you both with these things. She hadn't really answered any questions about it. Lou, I think with your nose, you can smell. There are definitely a lot of herbs in there, plants of some kind, but there's something else too, something that just escapes recognition, even as you're smelling.
Definitely more poop.
Yeah, more poop, probably. It's just been bothering you all day. Like, what is this smell? As you walked back into Coven and heading to the Witch's Brew. So that was the first thing that had happened. The second thing, too, that had happened is that Tony, upon waking up, and you were all, you know, assembling, getting ready to go, Tony had come out of her room and said basically that she wasn't feeling well. She didn't want to go into Coven. She was just going to stay back for the day. And she did not look good when she did this. One, in that fight, I mean, her leg basically got sliced off, which she reminds you aggressively about. And she's was screaming about having to, like, walk in the rain in that, like, multicolored storm. And then she was also like, and I'm also on my period and I feel terrible. And these are all things Nassim wanted me to say that Tony specifically said to each and every one of you. Let's see. Yeah, Tony's not feeling well, came down with a fever after the rainbow rain. Blue fucker sliced her leg last time, and she's on her period, so she's really playing up that, like, the PMS card. And, yep, so she just was a storm of bad vibes, and then promptly turned around and locked herself in her room.
Woo! She needs a do not disturb under any circumstances sign on that handle.
Yeah, you have never seen Rook look so afraid of Tony ever after that. All of these declarations. So here you are, just the two of you now, alone again, standing outside the Witch's Brew. It's about 9 a.m. or so at this point. The sky is beautiful. It's like one of those perfect autumn days where it's just a little bit chilly, but the sun is shining so bright. And the sky and its blues and its weird purples and greens that you tend to see in the wilds is up above. People are strolling about, getting ready for the day, heading into work. And it looks like the Witch's Brew in front of you. The windows are all curtained. They're all closed. I mean, this is kind of like a bar restaurant, so definitely not open to the public at this point.
Mm-hmm. Lou just kind of like has been grumpy all morning, just smelling this fucking dangly sack that she has to carry around. And she just immediately just walks up to the door and knocks on it.
Mm-hmm. And you hear some kind of footsteps from inside and a voice, "Hello?
Tandy?"
"Yeah, I'm Tandy. Who's this?"
"It's Marnie. It's Marnie and Saoirse." She's like, almost says the wrong thing.
And you see this little glass panel, like one of those long tall windows beside the door, a curtain gets scooched aside, and you see Tandy, you know, looks out at both of you and takes a little bit too long to recognize you, and then she goes, "Oh," and, you know, you hear like a bolt undo and the door opens, and she's like, Oh, hey, you came back.
Yeah, you said the next day, so it's the next day, so we're here. That's...
Oh, yeah, you know, but it's just... Yeah, my friends, they should be here, like, really soon, so I'm glad you came back. Are you hungry? And you can already hear the sounds of, you know, people moving in the kitchen and prepping for the day. This front common room, you know, you see all those tables that were grown out of the living wood of this living tree building are all nicely polished, but standing empty, ready for customers.
I mean, if they're not here yet, I came prepared. I have lots of rocks, so we can trade.
Right. Yeah, you were weird about that yesterday. Right. Okay. Yeah, what do you want? She kind of wanders behind the bar.
Eva, what do you want? I mean, I've never had food from the Feywild before. Eva seems fine after yesterday, so I'll try.
Oh my goodness, I saw the most spectacular chef. You should really talk to him, Lou. He was like an octopus, and he had like a knife in every like tentacle arm. It was quite a sight.
Tandy's like, what's an octopus?
Oh, you know, it's like a weird sea creature, and it's got this big bulbous head and weird horizontal eyes, and it's got, like, suckers on its 8 arms so it can reach out and grab things and, like, wow. Pull them into its den.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You should, like, write horror stories about stuff. That's, like, freaky.
Oh, maybe I could be good at that. I never considered.
Yeah, okay, well, I'm going to get some food. Do you want anything? She's kind of walking backwards.
Yeah.
Anything? I'll just...
Chef special. Whatever they want to make, I'll eat.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and for you, Aoife?
I'm good. She makes breakfast.
Sorry. Sorsha.
Oh, my word. Marnie here makes breakfast.
We're all having trouble with it.
Broad.
Lady,
guy,
you, this person that I like so much, I can definitely remember what to call you. She makes a mean breakfast every morning, so I'm good. But what do your friends look like in case they show up?
Oh, you'll know them. And she walks into the back somewhere.
Aoife looks at Lewis like, what does that even mean?
I don't know, but everything about Tandy is unsettling to my needs for rules and scheduling.
Yeah, you and Brooke really have a lot in common.
I mean, I would have given us a map. She reaches over and like pours an early glass of wine for herself.
There you are. Yes. Mm-hmm. There's so many delightful cordials and wines to choose from. Why not? Have a nice aperitif to start the day. So are you all like sitting at the bar? Do you take a table?
I think we'd take a table. Those tall stools are only comfortable for so long.
It's true story.
All right. Yeah. So you get your whatever you're drinking for the morning and settle in. And just as you've taken your seats, you know, Tandy isn't back yet. The door opens and there's a creak as somebody is pushing it open gently, maybe checking if they should be knocking or something. You see the face of a wood elf. So a brown skinned, very tall individual who's looks like he has absolutely no extra fat on his body. So very like drawn cheeks and kind of wrinkled skin, which would indicate that this is a very old elf with black hair down in a ponytail, kind of pokes around and looks, and you see takes a long pull of a cigarette that he's holding in his mouth, and kind of blows it out and considers, are you the bounty hunters we're supposed to meet?
That's us. And you are?
I'm Erna Salas. Do you own this place? Can we come in? This is Tandy's place, right?
Please. Yeah, she's getting food, so we're just kind of hanging tight.
And he steps in and opens up the door for the person coming in behind him, who you see is a very large, rotund human man who is wearing this like bright, flashy blue, like silk suit that was probably really nice once, but it's straining a little bit over his girth and has a couple of stains on it. And he comes in bustling through the door. Thank you so much. Oh, thank you so much, Ernie, you're a sweetheart. And pats the elven man on the back and moves in. And he holds up his hands and looks at you and goes, well, what do we have here? Two young bounty hunters up in the world. Oh, he comes over and just sits down at your table. And he's like, oh, it's such a pleasure. It's such a pleasure to meet you. I'm Bertram. Who are you? Tell me everything. And grabs your hands, Aoife.
Oh my God. She is absolutely delighted with a capital D. And she is just all starry-eyed. And she's like, oh, my name's Saoirse. At least that's what you can call me.
That's a beautiful name. A beautiful name for a beautiful lass.
Oh, you tell a lie.
Oh, no, I don't. And he slaps at your arm in a very jovial way.
We just like do the slap hands at each other.
You know, just with the movement and the exertion, you know, he's got this big smile on his face. His cheeks are bright red and he's got these like twinkling blue eyes. That just shine while he's looking at you, and he turns to you. And you, my dear, from below the crust of the world, I find you here in Fairyland? What a dream!
Truly, I'm Marnie, and she holds out her hand for a shake.
Yeah, and he shakes it and then kisses it, and you two, bounty hunters,
so we're told.
Oh, no. And you see the wood elf has kind of shadow pulled back from this boisterous man in the frontier. And he's moved over already in this time. He's put out the cigarette that he had and lit in a fresh one and is reaching behind the counter, pouring everybody some drinks, it looks like.
Oh, yes, please. Another one. So... what exactly were you needing us to track down for you?
Oh, yes. You were interested in some work below the table, right?
Yes.
Well, we can certainly help you. We can certainly help you with that. You see, myself and Ernie, we used to be quite... quite the bounty hunters in the day, but then, oh, you know how it is. It's just so much work and running around, and we're here, we're in the wild, it's beautiful. And, you know, our son, he's really into crafts, and so it just seemed natural to go and get the store.
Oh, is he?
Oh, yeah. You know, are you single?
Oh, well, it turns out that I am. You know, you catch me at a rare time, and you know, I'm really into crafts.
Oh, you know what?
I sew.
You two would make a charming couple. You would make an absolutely charming couple. Wouldn't they, Ernie? And he like waves a hand at the wood elf, who just nods placidly.
Lou is just like looking between the two of them, just baffled. How did this happen?
Aoife's sitting there with her elbows on the table and her head legs just squished between her hands, just like big heart eyes.
Well, you know, my dear, I will certainly arrange a meeting. You know, a meet cute? Is that what they call it? That's what they call it. Right. But anyway, I digress. Oh, it's all I do these days, digress. But anyway, we used to be quite the bounty hunters back in our day. And, we still hear some threads every once in a while. Someone wants us to do something. But, of course, we're too old for that. So we've got a lead for you. Something small, Tandy said, since you're just starting out. So if you're interested, we can certainly share our information. No charge, of course.
Yeah, we'd be delighted. We're really looking forward to getting our foot in there and just making a name for ourselves so later on we could take the big jobs.
Oh, you know what? I could tell right when I walked in here, didn't I say, Ernie, didn't I say they looked like some go-getters? And Ernie just nods and drinks from his glass. Of course. So word is that there's this small-time Sandman, right? That's just pissed off a little too many people at this point. So there's a pretty big bounty offering up for anyone who can find this person and just drop them off dead or alive at the Coven prison. So should be pretty easy. Nothing too out there. Just a solo target. Sound interesting?
Yeah. I mean, what more do you have for us? Do you have a description? And Lou just like takes out her notepad and a pen and just starts getting ready, looking at him. Description, usual hangs.
Yes, there's, and Bertram starts like fiddling in his two small pockets, trying to find where he put some notes. And Ernie will say, it's an Eldrin man. Pale blue skin, goes by the name Ripper. Not a nice fellow, but also small time. So, not someone who should give you too much trouble. Said he's a little bit too fond of his own supply. He seems to haunt a place over in the Midnight Quarter, an old hotel. So, you should find him there. If you're lucky, he'll be real slow when you get to him. You know what I mean?
No. What
taps her nose?
What's a Sandman and what does he supply? Like,
and yeah, Bertram's like, oh yes, you're new to sorry, Sandman. Dust is sort of a drug. It's something the sleeping court they produce some of them naturally. So when you inhale it, you have dreams. You know, people who are just unhappy with their lives. Just it's a taste of something else. So Sandman are the ones who sell the dust. It's not officially sanctioned, obviously. Especially here in Coven, where they're very anti-court. So the dust trade, it's a whole mess.
No, just like Aoife whispers with her mouth cup between her hands. Is it pixie dust? Like, looking around.
You know, that's funny that you think that, but no. It's not. It's actually very interesting. The whole bit and mess. And Ernie puts his hand on Bertram's arm and just says very gently, they don't have time to listen to your stories right now. And Bertram goes, oh, yeah, you're right. No. We'll get into it later when you meet our boy and meet cute our boy. We'll have you come by the store and we'll chat. And we'll chat a whole bunch. But, yeah, right. Ernie said it's not the time. It's not for the time for that.
Oh, my goodness.
To be clear, you don't think that we're going to get involved with any court feuds because I signed a contract?
We all have to sign the contract. No. This is, it's only if you're doing violence on behalf of one of the courts. This cat, no, he's, he works, operates exclusively in Coven. So, you know, and you're turning him over to the Coven authority. So you don't have to worry about that. You know, you won't lose your earballs or eye... gloss or whatever that.
It's much more serious than that, but I get what you're saying.
Right. You know, I should tell people that's why I started balding. Fairy contract. You know, that's a good one.
Actually,
it's a good one.
Not a bad idea. That's pretty smart.
But anyway, we hear he's in Coven now, so you probably want to move. And he looks over at Ernie, who's nodding at him. Like, you probably want to move. Quick on this one. Yeah, criminals like this don't tend to stay in one place for very long. Like I said, head over to the Midnight Quarter. He haunts this old hotel that's turned into more of a dust lounge. So you should be able to find him there, no trouble. If anyone gives you trouble, you just push him to the side. That stuff can really mess you up.
Okay. Well, thank you. We will handle this and meet you back here.
Oh, yeah, we'll be here probably, what? I mean, we just got here. I'm hungry. So it'll be an hour, 2 hours looking at Ernie. We'll be here a while.
Well, in case we get delayed or anything, where's your shop at? So in case we...
Oh, yes, the shop! You know, you can't miss it. It's just on the other side of the square. Prime real estate. It's over there. I didn't name it. What a fool. Sage, give me a horrible name for like a fabric/craft store.
Imagine Knit, with Knit being KNIT.
Imagine Knit. Yeah, there it is. I'm writing that down.
Me too.
It's called Imagine It. That's their store. And you can see it just from the other side if you look out the windows. It's one of those total kitschy little, like, small town craft stores that just an explosion of colors and signs and, like, this giant, like, rotating bobbin, like, at the top on a spindle.
Nice.
So you can't miss it. We're in here all the time. That's how I know Tandy. Where is Tandy, by the way? Did she rope you into working here again instead of her? Because she does that sometimes.
I mean, it was my pleasure. I learned so much. Actually, before we go, I was waiting on that food that I've been thinking about for a long time. Maybe we can get it in a to-go box.
Oh, I'll go find her. I'm sure she's like halfway across town by now.
Well, yeah, whenever you see her, just let her know we're waiting for food too. So that'll be good. But yeah. Oh, also that the hotel. Did I mention the name? It was and he looks over at Ernie. Dreamland.
Innovative.
That was the name of it. Sort of on the nose. I don't know.
Aoife's going to run to the back, going the way that she discovered yesterday, to see if she can find Tandy.
Oh yeah. I think you eventually find that Tandy is outside, out back, actually where you saw her before, kind of in that alley space.
Mm-hmm.
And she's talking to a couple of pixies who maybe like taking their last smoke break before they go back to work, you know, so she's just chatting.
Yeah, she's gonna head into the kitchen and see what if there's the chef there and just like put in an order for them for a couple of chef specials.
Yeah. So you go back there and you see this creature that you saw last night. So this long, they do have two legs, so it is a bipedal creature, but their entire torso does look like if you just put an octopus on top of like the top torso of a person and it's gone. And that's what so the arms are. So these two, you know, weird eyes kind of look at you as you step in. And there's like a knife that hovers above a chopping board while you're taking, like saying your order. And a pixie will go, oh, he doesn't take orders, but I can give it to him. So just so you know, what did you want? And like whips a pad out and like looks at this chef who is, again, holding this knife just hovering above this board.
And she will do kind of a little half bow and be like, oh, I'm so sorry. Didn't mean to offend. And then she'll turn to the pixie. I suppose three of whatever they're willing to whip up for us. You know, got a couple of guests out front.
Yeah. Okay, sure. I'll get that right out. You should probably just... Yeah, it makes little, like, scoopy hands, towards the door. Okay.
And then Aoife's gonna wait, outside of the door and do one of those, like, oh, I was totally walking casually towards you, waiting for Tandy to come back in because she wants to ask Tandy something.
Oh, yeah. And Tandy will kind of see you and go, oh, and like waves and comes in and is like, oh, shoot, you know, I totally forgot to, get. And she looks at you, just no recollection.
And she, Aoife just waves her hand and she's wants to point at like the painting of her and be like, Oh, so that's so sweet. Is that like your daughter or something? I haven't seen them around Coven at all.
No, I don't have any kids. That seems like such a hassle. No, that's my sister. And she kind of looks sadly at it. Yeah.
I've got 5 siblings myself, so.
Oh, wow. Yeah. We had quite a few, too, but we used to be close.
Well, that's sad. I'm sorry to dredge up sad memories, but, you know.
No, I mean, that's the way of the world, right? People come, people go.
That's true. I mean, you don't keep contact anymore?
Oh, I don't know where she is. She just kind of one day vanished. And, you know, I tried to reach out and find her, but, you know, she was always sort of like that. Kind of hard to, I don't want to say, like, mean, but she just had a lot going on. And she was a very private person. And then, you know, she started doing, like, some really dangerous stuff. And then one day she just never came back. So I'm sure she's still out there somewhere. I mean, she's way too much of a handful to die. Right? Yeah.
Well, if I ever happen to run into her, I'll tell her you say hi.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, just let her know I'm, you know, still here. She needs anything.
Yeah, and she'll kind of nod and we'll head back to the table with Bertram and Ernie and Lou.
Yeah, and very shortly, this pixie comes back bearing a bunch of trays. They leave, like, this nice basket of, like, beautiful multicolored rainbow scones on the Ooh. Table and, like, have a French press of something sparkly and purple. And then, yeah, there's like, some different spreads, jams, like, fruits that you've never seen that you're maybe go, like, you put them on the toast, or it's a beautiful little spread.
Oh, amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, Lou just picks one of these scones up and, like, puts, like, every corner has a different kind of jam and takes nice. A deep breath and takes the smallest, most delicate bite of this and just waits to have her mind blown.
Yeah, the flavor combinations are extraordinary. You think maybe this corner was like a sweet potato basil sort of flavor combo going on, but it's not like close enough to either of those to be quite those, but it's reminiscent of it. It's just, it's so vibrant and it feels like you're eating the raw food, like, but in a baked good. It's, I mean, how did they do it?
Lou just wipes a tear. This is really good. My compliments to the chef.
Yeah, it's like another one is like a chili lemon thing, and you're just like, what? This is so
cardamom and boysenberry.
Yeah, you're just like, all these, like, of course they go together. Flavor is the experience of each of these scones.
Oh, God. I don't want to be a bounty hunter anymore. I just want to be an eater.
That's what I said, Bertram says with, like, crumbs flowing out of his mouth.
Okay, we can come back for more.
Congratulations, you've made it to the save point. While you're here, consider checking out our Discord server. It's open invite and we've got the greatest dang community around. You'll find tantalizing dishes in the Griddle Sister, adorable pet pictures in our Venture Familiar section, and so many great minds to bounce ideas off in our Let's Talk Tabletop channel. And with us going to PAX Unplugged in December, you'll know first where we are and what we're up to in the convention hall. Speaking of PAX, we've got a super exciting announcement. We're doing a live show. That's right, catch us Saturday, December 11th at 6 p.m. EST in the Crab God Theater in the Convention Center in Philadelphia. We're so excited to meet so many of you in person. But with that exciting news out of the way, let's talk about another tasty treat, Forge and Flame, our mineral sponsor. They are the creators of Dwarven Rations, which are artisanal cakes made with a dedication to quality. Made in Bermuda and shipped worldwide for over 20 years, this fantasy-themed company is crewed by a dedicated group of gamers, nerds, and artists. You can find many flavors in their line, including the traditional lemon and Madagascar vanilla, chocolate, swizzle, which is Michigan cherries, apricots, pineapple, orange, and coconut and rum and ginger. Every box includes a random tabletop RPG die, and they have their own special incredibly low-cost custom advertising cake kits for those who want a new merch product for their fan base, but without all the work of having to buy and pay and ship all of that inventory. To find out more, head to their webpage, docglass.com/dwarven-rations. Alright folks, that's all that I've got to you. We'll catch you at the next save point.
All right.
To the Midnight Quarter!
Yes. So, the Midnight Quarter, that is the bad part of town. You can very quickly assess. So, the Midnight Quarter is also that area where Tandy mentioned, like, if there was any of that illegal underground racing stuff, it would all be kind of happening in that area. So, you know to watch your back as you're heading into this place. And luckily, apparently, this hotel... it's no longer really in function, but it is a pretty large building, so you should be able to find it pretty easily once you do get over there.
On the way, Lou's just going to be, like, discussing with Aoife, like, what's our plan here? Do we ask for the goods? Do we look around and scan to see if anybody appears shady? Or do you think, could the establishment be in on it? Would they know who to direct us to?
Would they know who to direct us to? Oh, God bless you, Lou.
She's a sweet angel baby, okay? I don't know anything about the drugs.
About what those kids are doing with the drugs.
You're hip, you're young. What's the tea?
Okay. Yeah, Aoife would say that we're looking to score some dust, and that we heard that the Sandman Ripper has the best
shit.
The best product.
Okay, and we'll say that to the front desk? Or...
No.
Do we...
No, we should ask around. I'm sure there will be plenty of people meandering about.
Right. Okay. You know, I'm gonna follow your lead, but if you could consult with me, that would make me feel better as you're making decisions. I'm nervous. I've never...
Oh, you'll be fine. Yeah, you're great. You see, you're totally good. Do you have that heart on you that I gave you before?
Yeah, it's right here. I mean, of course, I just threw it in my bag. It's whatever. But yeah, I keep it with me always. This?
And yeah. And she'll take her fingers and she'll give it a staunch flick. And then we'll give you a bardic inspiration.
What's your... bardic inspiration die right now?
A d6.
Six. Oh, sweet. We're babies.
Oh, babies. Yeah, alright, so you are discussing this as you are heading through... Sorry, I'm trying to pull up something real quick. So as you are walking through the streets of Coven, and as you are getting closer and closer to the Midnight Quarter, quite literally, everything gets darker. The sky starts to darken, and these multicolored lamps, you see that the pathway that you're now following is this trail of deep purple that is leading you on and on towards this part of town. And as you're walking there, you start to notice that there are less people walking around. There are less businesses in general. You see that most of the businesses are, like, boarded up. The windows, you know, it's old flaking signs of places that have clearly closed down. There's lots of trash in the streets. And it just feels colder. Because everything here in the wilds is very literal. So the environment is shaped by the activity. And it's just...
Don't stray too far, Aoife. I don't trust this place.
Yeah. She's trying real hard to, like, kind of stand up straight and look like she belongs.
Looking around, I mean, Lou's got just, like, a thug life expression on her face. And just trying...
Resting thug life.
Yeah, resting thug life. And I think, honestly, when she's not, you know, acting or, like, speaking, like, she probably blends in pretty well, having her deep purple skin and all the cuts all over her and everything. So she's just trying to, like, kind of, like, overbear over Aoife so that she takes the most attention. Very, like, protect the baby mom vibes. And is looking out for this hotel, Dreamland, to see if we can find any indicators.
Yeah, you wind through the streets, and Lou, I mean, you're being really vigilant. You know how roguelife works. So every once in a while, you'll make eye contact with somebody who's coming around a corner or somebody who got a little bit too close, and they scurry off, recognizing that you recognize them. And eventually, you do make your way towards one of the taller buildings at the center of the Midnight Quarter here. And at its heyday, it was, you know, it looks like maybe 15, 20 stories, which is huge for, I don't know if you all have ever seen a building that big, unless you've been to Phelan. But it is dilapidated. At one point, it was probably painted like this pale blue, almost sky color, and had these like clouds painted on the side. But grime and age have just decayed the paint of this building. And the sign that read Dreamland has been broken. Half of it is gone. You don't know where it is. So you just say Dre. And then there's like a flickering D left on the very end. And as you come around the corner towards this entrance, where you see just like piles of trash litter have accumulated around the front door, there is a very tall, green-skinned humanoid that's leaning against these front doors with this like long, greasy hair and this large snout.
Lou just kind of like stands almost bodyguardish and like kind of like nudges Aoife, and she's like, "I don't know how to talk to people. You better take this one."
And Aoife will kind of like saunter up slowly, and she'll be like, "So we're looking for someone around here. Do you know anyone?"
"Yeah, I know lots of people."
"You look like the kind of person who does."
And the breath that comes out of the mouth of this creature is just, ugh. Have either of you ever seen a troll in real life?
Oh, fuck no.
This is a troll that is standing in front of you.
Oh, so
yeah,
tall.
So you see it now and you're up close to it too. It's like long taloned like fingernails, and this thing like lurches up. It is a large size creature, extremely intimidating.
Being her little 5 foot self is just like, yeah, looking way up.
Yeah.
"Well, we're looking for someone who goes by Ripper."
"I might know someone named Ripper. What's it worth to you?"
"Well, you know, we're looking to score some dust. So, you know, perhaps if you gave us a good intel, maybe there'll be a little bit in it for you. A little pinch off the top, as it were."
"I'm not really interested in that. But, hey, you guys hags?"
He looks at you. He's asking it the same way somebody might say, "Are you cops?"
"You legally have to tell me."
"You have to tell me." And he's looking at you now with these beady, like, watery yellow eyes.
And she, like, rests her hands, or, like, her chin on her hands, and she's like, would I be this cute if I were?
And he frowns at you, showing all of his gnarled, nasty teeth. Pay the fee and you can go in. Come on.
How much? What is it?
What do you got? And he kind of pushes your shoulder a little bit.
Lou, like, stands up straighter. Like, behind him, like, oh no. Do not touch.
Aoife is going to look at Lou.
And Lou's, like, thinking, she's like, why did I only bring rocks? Like...
not even a little gold. What is yeah,
and she'll speak up from behind her and be like, well, I'm not sure what interests you more. I do have some gold, or I have this sandwich. And she pulls out, like, the most perfect layered, like, prosciutto goat cheese, a Granny Smith apple sandwich with the perfect golden brown, like, perfect cross section. I didn't know if we'd get hungry.
Mm. You know what? I'm going to roll a percentage die.
Roll for prosciutto.
And the troll goes, yeah, I'll take the sandwich. Going, grabs it and smushes it as he grabs it, ruining all those good layers, and just shoves the whole thing into his mouth, and you see it grinding between these, like, disgusting teeth, and the whole experience is bizarre and uncomfortable. But the troll nods and shifts away from the two broken doors that lead inside this building.
Bon appetit.
Sorry, did I break you, Katie? No. Katie is crying, everyone on the podcast.
It's good goat cheese.
Oh, God. She just is like, all right. Saoirse, move forward. We need to get out of here. This is a bad place.
Well, he clearly enjoyed it. It's
a bad place.
He didn't even save her anything, but yeah, I don't want to talk about it right now.
He's getting one of his big yellow nails.
Picking up some arugula
between his teeth. Yeah. Spitting the green on the ground. Like, what is that?
Onward end.
So you walk in through these doors?
Mm-hmm.
Power walk in there?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So you walk into the lobby of Dreamland, which, as you are looking around, yes, it was probably a hotel at some point. It might have even been nice, but large sections of the carpet now are just stained with some yellow fungus that you don't really know what's going on. There is a front desk, but certainly no one is sitting there behind it. You can see most of the furniture that hasn't been bolted down is either gone or has been smashed. And there is just a smell that fills this whole place. It smells smoky and sweet, as if maybe somebody has just filled this place with, like, too much air freshener to cover whatever it normally smells like. And you can see that there are some stairs that are partially collapsed that lead upwards. On one side, there's also a series of hallways that lead back away from this lobby room.
I'm not turning back to ask him which way to go, so I say we just start from the bottom, or do you think, like, top place is boss place?
I feel like head to the top.
Okay.
Because it's better to know what we're dealing with and know our way out.
Okay.
If we have... Yeah.
I'll go first. And I want to just be, like, trying to move carefully, because I know that this place is, like, falling apart. I don't want to make, like, any big creaks as I'm moving as best I can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you know, you pick your way up the side of the stairs that is still very climbable and head up to the next floor of this place. And you can see, again, this is like a 10-story building, so each floor has these stairs that lead upwards. And you can see that there are rows of doors here. It looks like maybe 5 or so for each level. So do you want to check out one of the doors or continue just going up?
Just right up to the top?
Sure.
Okay. We'll start from the top and work our way down if need be.
Yeah. Yeah, so you climb up series of stairs after stairs, and every once in a while from behind one of these doors you hear shifting or movement, maybe some murmured conversation, but nothing like fast, nothing that's like truly alarming. There are certainly people in these rooms, and as you make your way up and up these stairs, you see that the stairs open up into this very, very large room at the top. So maybe it was like a ballroom or a conference room, something. And you can see that there are a lot of people. People draped sitting up against the walls, people on the floor on these like soggy cushions that they've put around. You can see that there are people in rings looking at these bowls that they have and like sprinkling this iridescent dust, like throw it up into the air and then inhale. And there's a lot of these people in this space, maybe 20 or so, all various fairy creatures and other mortal species you recognize. But that's not the weirdest thing going on in this room. As you look up to the dark ceiling, because there are no lights, no lights have been turned on at all in this place. There's something moving on the walls and the ceiling. Creatures. They look like snakes, almost. Except they have these insectoid-like legs on either side that they're using to cling to the walls. And these large fans on their head, like flippers. And these things are just crawling, just hung onto the walls like flies. And Lou, I think as you step up onto that final step, you hear the shattering of something under your foot.
I looked out. What is it?
It's the ruins of what looks like a glass marble. An empty glass marble is just shattered under your foot. A marble that looks very familiar.
Perhaps the one I found right after my very first dream.
Indeed it does. And you see scattered about this space, there are a few of them. And some of the creatures on the walls are holding marbles just like that.
Okay, but what does it mean? So looking around, I mean, I don't know what the hell these things are, but before I approach any of these people that are sitting around, do I see anyone matching that pale blue skinned Eladrin man that was described to us?
Yeah, I mean, you're looking in the space, nobody immediately rings that way to you, but some of the people who are closest to you, you can see maybe like the closest circle of people. It looks like this very large individual with like this bull face and two large horns, so like a minotaur, that's sitting next to an Eldrin who doesn't match that description. They have pale green skin and a pinkish hair, also sitting there next to some kind of goblin. They turn and look at you all, and they do so with that just a dazed expression, like they're barely noticing you're there and kind of swaying back and forth.
Okay. Hello? Can anybody tell me where I could get the hookup?
And this, the Minotaur looks at you like, for dust?
Yes, for the dust.
I mean, you can share if you want. And like points down at this bowl in front of them all. And you see again that iridescent colored, it looks, yeah, like sand, like glittering mica sand in this bowl.
I think that we were actually hoping to get into distribution. Is there any way that you could tell us where we could find somebody who's in charge?
In charge? I don't really know.
We're looking for Ripper.
Oh, Ripper? Yeah. No, he's here. I think he's downstairs. And they're looking off now, kind of looking up at the ceiling and around. I think on the floor below.
Well, thank you very much. Enjoy your dreams.
Thanks. And as the smile passes over the Minotaur's face, as they just focus on something you can't see.
Well, they look like they're having a good time. So, oh God.
Do Minotaurs dream of labyrinths?
That's their nightmares, baby. And, you know, as you, like, are in this room, some of these creatures kind of scuttle around, and one looks down curiously at you. They don't seem to be interfering with the people there or causing any kind of a trouble. They're just looking. And one turns its almost insectoid-like eyes towards you both. Makes a little sound.
Oh God, gross. I don't like them.
I can't really believe we're gonna go to the bottom floor.
Yeah. So they mentioned probably on the floor below, so it would be like the ninth floor, mm-hmm. is where this Minotaur, I guess, thinks that Ripper is.
On cloud nine, on floor nine.
Yeah.
Let's go.
There you go. All right, so on floor nine, you have five doors that lead, I guess, into probably what you would assume to be the bedrooms that were in this place. So what's the plan?
I think Lou's going to just, like, gently test the knobs and see if any of them are just open, first off.
Yeah. So you would tell that the three on the end are open. The first two appear to be locked.
I guess we'll try the open ones first, right? And then, or are we looking for the things that nobody wants us to get to?
Well, I feel like maybe the rooms are, like, empty rooms where people can go in and get high, but if it's a locked door, that's probably where someone is, so I feel like maybe just, like, knocking on the ones that are locked.
We don't knock here. Lou is going to just kind of pull out, like, open a little pocket that she hasn't yet opened up with some thieves' tools inside, and she's like, all the time at home, people are accidentally locking doors.
So I had to learn how to do this. You know, it's so helpful.
It just takes one time when you can't get into your room when you need to before you just pick up a new skill.
You feel, like, shocked.
What? Why are you looking at me like that?
I use a card to get, like, I've picked the lock on my sister's diary, and I'm not proud of it, but, I mean, this is another level. I am shocked, Lou.
I am just thorough. You never know. And look, this one's great for picking stuff out of your teeth after a good meal. You know, multi-purpose. It's not that weird, I promise you.
Okay, sure.
Don't look at me. She's gonna pick the lock. Oh, yes, that is...
Yeah, rogue, give me that sleight of hand.
18 plus 5, so 23.
Oh yes, this lock just falls apart. It was a joke. This lock is a joke to someone like you. You cannot believe that anyone would trust a lock like this to keep anything secure.
Rookies. Yeah, and with that, Lou will kind of gently open the door and quietly push it open and see what's inside.
Yeah, and as you push open this door, you see that there are two people standing in this room. Well, one is kind of swaying, and they both look like Eldrin with pale blue skin. Identical, actually. And one of them says, "Who are you? What are you doing here?"
Oh, the door is unlocked, and we're looking for someone named Ripper. We're, looking to purchase some dust.
And the other Eldrin, who didn't speak yet but looks identical to the first one, says, "The door was locked. I locked the door. So what are you doing here?" And the other one says, "Yeah. What are you doing here lying to me?"
Truth be told, we were just honestly trying to find where the stuff was to get a free fix. So apparently the right door?
And the other one who wasn't the one who spoke is like, "Yeah, okay. You can have some dust. How much do you want?" And like goes over and kind of stumbles towards You see like a cabinet on a back wall. They're like trying to fumble with the lock. And the other one is just staring very intently, watching your every move.
Great. So you're Ripper then?
And this Eldrin looks at the other one and says, maybe.
Lou just kind of gives a side eye to Aoife.
Yeah. Aoife's trying to figure out what to make of this situation. But she's gonna... I feel like she's going to... Oh, man. What do we do in this situation?
What do you do in this situation?
Do we think they're twins, or do we think they're, like, two halves of the same person? Or what are your thoughts?
I don't know. I almost wonder if, like, one's a projection sort of thing, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we're gonna know until we grabby hands.
Ernie did say that they were getting high on their own supply, so I'm thinking it's the one who's, like, fumbling around. But, I mean, if they look exactly the same, better, but just bag them both.
Bag them both. Be thorough. Yeah, I think Lou just is standing in front of the door, and while the one has the back turn, she will walk in, like, casually towards the other one, like she's just going to be waiting for it, and then grab him by the shoulder and hold a knife up to his throat.
I'm sorry, which one are you doing this to?
The one who was staring at us.
Got you. Okay.
The one who's like, keep eyes on and everything.
Yep.
All right, yeah, then Aoife would definitely be like going with the other one who's like fumbling to open up the dust cabinet, and would be like, oh, this is like playing with the hair, like, this is my first time. Like, you have to show me how to do it.
So I will say, in this moment, Lou, as you both make eye contact with each other and, like, you know, do a divide and conquer maneuver here, and Lou, you go and try to grab at the one who has been keeping watch here, like lightning, as if this person knew exactly what you were thinking, they dip out of the way and your knife goes like swinging over their head as they step back into a defensive gesture, automatically reacting to your thoughts is the best you can guess. And let's go ahead and roll some initiative.
Oh no! 2 18s in a row, baby. Ooh. 21.
Oh damn!
Aoife got a 19.
Wow, you guys are fast. So Lou, this person that you were trying to grab, the watchful Ripper ducks under your grasp and totally evades your blow, and you see a knife comes out of somewhere and is in his hands. But you have the reaction move here. You can see now that Aoife, the one that is standing beside where you are, where you moved to, they're still kind of fumbling with the cabinet, mm-hmm. and looks around and goes, hey, what's going on? And that's like, boom, Lou, your moment.
Great. Is Aoife within 5 feet of us? Or
yeah, actually, yeah, probably within 5 feet. It's like a small hotel room, so Motel 6 room, imagine that.
Good to know for me, the rogue. So I'm going to go ahead and she's going to take out an offhand weapon as well and go in on this guy. Not going for anything like lethal, but like trying to like cut behind his knees and stuff like that to get him to fall over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do it.
Nice, nice, nice.
Oh my god, I got a natural 20.
Holy shit! Holy shit! We're making up for the quickling fight.
I hardly ever get natural 20s when I'm doing attacks. It fucking sucks. All right, so that's 10 plus my sneak attack.
Ew.
Plus 11 more, 21 damage.
Holy shit! Damn. So yeah, as you like, you're basically hamstringing this guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're laying into him, and you see in this the spurt of blood, you know, you're not hitting major arteries, you're very careful not to do that, But as you are cutting into this person, this Eldrin, you see the visage drops for a moment, like in the wash of pain. Whatever this thing was, you see gray, rubbery skin and green eyes that flashes before the face can reassert and the flesh can return back to that pale blue state. As whatever you just attacked, it's struggling to maintain its form in the middle of all of this.
Damn.
Anything else?
Yeah, seeing that, she's gonna go in for an offhand attack, this time with the butt of her knife. Oh my fucking god, I shit you not, that's a 19.
Whoa, what the heck?
Yes, queen!
Right, Nassima's gonna be so jealous of this fight when she
That's two back. Extra damage.
Ow, yeah, so again, just for good measure, you know, you're striking into the flesh of this person. And whatever they are a lot tougher than you would guess, looking at this lean Eladrin, or Eldrin, who doesn't look like they've, you know, slept or eaten much at all in the last, like, 10 years of their life. But they still going. So whatever this is, it is not, clearly not what is in front of you. And then that is going to bring us to Aoife. So I don't think you see that flash that Lou did, like looking at its face and dealing mm-hmm. that kind of damage. But you can certainly tell now you are standing next to this version of Ripper who is like totally blindsided by what's happening. You don't even need an insight check to know that this guy has no idea what is going on right now.
Yeah, definitely. She, I mean, the other one who Lou had gone over to definitely seemed like the one in charge, so she's definitely feeling like we need to focus down on him and then we can just tie up this other guy. And she is going to, ooh, for the first time, use a brand new spell. She is going to take out a little pin cushion and like little sewing needles are gonna fly out of this like little like strawberry shaped pin cushion, and I need both of them, both of our enemies here, to make a charisma saving throw DC 13 as she is casting Bane.
Ooh. All right, that is a, all right, yeah, that is a hot 5 and hot 8, so that is terrible. That is terrible.
So whenever they make an attack roll or a saving throw, they need to subtract 1d4 from their total.
Ah, no!
And then she's going to take out her offhand dagger, and she's going to, like, slide up towards Ludwig's got this guy and try and get a shot in at him.
All right, go for it.
Pata.
That's hot garbage. That's 8.
Yeah, and again, with that lightning reflex. And Lou, I think it's very alarming to see how fast this, it's like a Matrix move as this individual just totally, not even looking at Aoife, just manages to avoid this strike.
That is her turn.
Well, this Ripper here is not happy being baned and being stabbed. So Lou, they're going to try and take some good old vengeance out on you. Minus a d4. Oh boy. But that is still going to be a 22.
Yup.
So the knife drives into your side for 10 piercing damage.
Oof.
As this thing swings at you and catches you in the side with a strength that, again, clearly this Eldrin should not possess. And they are going to come in again, trying to bring up just a fist up and under and into your rib cage. That one, luckily, is going to miss. You see whatever your magic was, Aoife, like a pin sticks into their wrist and you see it just goes limp at just the wrong time, becoming a useless blow. And the Ripper on the far side of the room now by the cabin is like, oh my god, stop! What is happening? Whoa, I'll get you. You can have whatever you want. Any of the dust you want, just like go. And is cowering kind of in the corner.
You're under arrest.
We have no authority, but bitch, you under arrest.
Aoife's seen those cop puppet shows. She knows what to say.
You're gonna be the lawyer's problem, punk. So Lou, you just got stabbed for 10 points of damage, which I imagine is not a small amount at level 2.
No, but you know, breakfast is the most important meal of the day, and I did have that, so I'm looking a lot better than I would have Eat your Wheaties, kids.
Luckily, this is from the chef background that we've homebrewed for Lou. Grants temp HP. So far, been super clutch.
It's been very nice.
It would be dead.
And I think it's nice, too, for a DM to be able to put beefier things on the table because we don't have, like, 2 HP.
Yeah. I would feel bad if you had 2 HP. Right.
So, my first one after getting the wind knocked out of me was a natural 1.
That feels right.
She just kind of... Yeah, and she just kind of just fumbles it.
I'm gonna spend my inspiration.
Ooh,
so that you can roll again.
Okay.
Ooh, hot.
Okay. That is going to be a 15.
A 15 will hit.
Is 13, 14, 15. As she just goes in and once again just wails on this thing. As she kind of fumbled it first, going in underneath and hitting it with the butt of her blade.
Ooh, yeah, and you can see, again, you deal a huge blow to this thing, but it still just isn't down. And Aoife, now that you are standing next to it and it takes this much damage, you see that moment, that transition too. And I don't think this thing can maintain its form for any longer with so much damage. So the thing in front of you is... humanoid shaped, about the same size as this Eldrin, but this completely gray muscled body that doesn't have a mouth, and it just has these kind of bulging green eyes with no hair on its body, just these kind of pointed ears. And that's the thing standing in front of you now, crouching, looking very, very angry as it's bleeding this pale ichor.
Oof, gross. That's worse than you seeing that guy eat that sandwich.
All the horrors. It's all horrible.
And then my offhand attack, I just got an 8, so I'm sure I just whiff.
You have bardic inspiration.
Don't spend it.
Oh, still? How long does that last?
10 minutes.
Yeah, you can have it. You got it when you went in the building. Okay. It was fast. You climb stairs fast.
14?
A 14 is exactly what you need to hit it, so go for it. Damn, Lou doing work.
Oh my god, I love bards. I mean,
it's nice to have a bard.
Four. All right, another 2 points as she just thwacks into its maybe an abdomen.
Yeah, it looks vaguely abdomen shaped. it is like a human. Maybe shape. Yeah, and you give it a good whack. And you hear a crunch, but this thing, maybe it's the rubbery skin, like, you don't know, but God, it's still up, and it still looks like it wants to fight. And this ripper in the corner has started crying. Full on crying at this point.
Oh, poor baby.
And that is going to bring us to Aoife.
Yeah, so she is going to take out her rapier, and taking her cue from Lou here is going to also strive for non-lethal damage.
Nice. That is a 16.
16 will hit.
That is going to be 8 damage.
Okay. And then she'll go in with her offhand. With her bonus action, she'll give Lou another bardic inspiration. She's like, thumbs up with like her dagger in her hand and like,
yay!
We're doing it! Good job, partner.
Baby, we're going to teach you how to use that dagger, don't you worry.
Oh, sweet baby. So that is going to bring us to our ripper that is in front of you, who is just not going to go down without a fight. So here we go, Lou. Coming back for ya. Okay, but minus the d4, so a 17.
That's going to hit. I only have 14 for my AC.
That's going to be 7 damage. This is bludgeoning damage. As you can see, that even that knife was an illusion that was in its body, right? So it's just punching you with these like overpowered fists. And it's coming in again. Shit, that's a 20 on the die. Minus 3, so 17.
Yep.
Ooh. Alright, that's only 4 bludgeoning damage. You still with us?
I'm still holding on.
Yeah, and this thing is mercilessly coming for you. You have pissed it off, and it is just... it is going with a fury that is not humanoid. It's scary. Lou, we come to you. Rocket and rollin' at this point.
Yeah, she's just like, her nose is just like a waterfall of blood just getting into her mouth, and she just like staggers back and gets a natural 20.
Holy,
I'm on fire! What the fuck?
Yes. I'm gonna say, you, whatever you roll, you're gonna fucking slay. So what is the, like, what is your move here to take out this thing?
I think the last time that it punches into her, she kind of like keels over, and instead of like fully trying to stand back up, she just grabs on to her biggest knife with both hands and thrusts the butt of this thing straight into the center of it.
Yeah. And you do, and you hear, yeah, just like a crunching sound, and all the breath comes out of this thing. And finally, finally, it collapses on the ground in front of you. And yeah, now that you're looking at it, just, yeah, this gray, featureless thing curled up on the ground. It seems so monstrous as you're looking at it. And the Ripper in the corner is like, listen, I don't, like, that guy is, he just, you know, he... I'm not whoever you're looking for, man. It's that guy.
You're under arrest, I think. And Lou just like,
no,
weakly,
why?
Like pulls out ropes.
Yeah, like spewing up blood. Yeah,
like coughs up blood.
Evil will reach out with a cure wounds.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah, and I think that Lou just like grabs this guy and she's like, sorry, I don't want to be rough, and just like ties him up and is like, how are we gonna move that thing? What are we? But we gotta bring it. That's gonna be like extra. How does this work? What are we doing?
Aoife's gonna cure you for 10, and then she's going to say, well, I think they probably want this guy. As she points to the one who's crying in the corner and is, like, making moves with 50 feet of rope to, like, tie him up. But if this guy's a fae, maybe we can bring him to Rook and maybe she can sell him like that Taconid.
That thing was dead. This thing's out cold.
Well, we can tie him up and it, if he's tied up, we can still...
So
kill him?
I think the fun of this episode is here we are in this like drug den and you've got two people and you're like, oh no, now the part of bounty hunting where we have to get two people back to the thing. And so here we are. You've done it. Mm-hmm. You've succeeded. It's the hard part. So you have successfully completed your first bounty. Well done. That is the end, I think, of the action for this episode. So that is a problem that will be solved in between this episode and next. Oh my god. You did it, though! You did it! You got the guy! Congrats! Or guys?
We're incredible. Nice.
Who knows? Who knows?
You got the guy, you've got a date, which I guess you could just turn your back on Charlie right? Whenever you want now.
Yeah,
so
I guess,
that's cool.
You know, you've got a meet cute planned, you've met two very nice gay gentlemen who are just, like, so happy to help, and, you know, it's all gonna be okay. But before we go anywhere, before we do outros or anything, we of course have to do our letter that we have. So now that you all live in the chicken hut, for whatever reason, mail just gets slid under your door. You're not really sure how it gets there or what is going on, but this is a letter that Aoife has received. So Aoife, the letter that came sliding under the door, I think maybe even this morning before you left, would you care to read it for us?
Oh, definitely. Dearest Aoife, I thought it was high time the family all got together to write you a little dispatch. So I've done my best to collect status reports on all 100 of us for you. Your grandmother and I fought over who would actually get to write this main act of the letter, but you know her. She's a big softy when it comes down to it. Just one little smile from the silly old goat and she's all coffee cake and sunshine. Let's see, here's the rundown. Oisin seems to have learned 3 or 4 more instruments since you left. They say they're writing a song about you, but I haven't been allowed to hear it yet. A complete perfectionist through and through, just like your mother. I promise to write back when it's finished, and I can warn you whether you should laugh or cry when you hear it. Fairy forbid we act inappropriately upon hearing a teenage creation. You know how it is. Saoirse has really come into her own these days. She wore that dress you made her down to the threads, and Gran is helping her make a few more. She may not have the patience you do for all those itty-bitty knots, but the girl has vision. I started telling Gran we need to save more money because the day she wants to head off to study art in Feylin is coming. I can feel it in my hooves. The twins are well. They are boys. Breaking every little thing in this poor house. If your Gran didn't know a little magic, the whole cottage would have been smithereens, shoestrings by now. I think they're coming out of the worst of it, though, thank goodness. There's this cute little elf girl from school who keeps coming by to visit, and every time she stops by, they behave like perfect angels, of course. Aisling is also well, but Aoife, she is shy. My goodness, I had no idea anyone in this family could be shy and quiet of all things. When I asked her for a status report, she gasped and ran to her room and brought back a drawing for you. And there is a drawing of a very fat dragon wearing a big crochet scarf enclosed in the envelope. I heard your parent from your parents recently, and they are just so proud of you. Taking on the world the way you are, your mother wanted me to mention that the troop will be stopping in Ashtar very soon, so if you ever get some time away, they'd love to see you. Apparently the street food on the plateau is just extraordinary. Well, that's everybody. I won't hold you too much longer since you've got big dreams to get to. We all love you so much and can't wait to hear all about your adventures. Loves and kisses. Pop pop.
Oh, wow, I can't believe you read that whole thing in that accent. That's amazing. You're a legend.
Hire me for voice acting.
I am shook.
Damn. So that was a little letter from Aoife's many siblings and grandpa. So with that is actually the end of the episode. So thank you all so much for being here. I have been your Dungeon Master, Celeste Conowich.
And I am Katie, playing Laviri Sath, your drow rogue.
And I am Sage, and I've been your feckin'... I almost said barbarian, holy shit.
Oh,
nope.
Shit. Mm-mm. Barbarian. Oh, no.
Bard. Bard buried. Ooh.
Yeah.
Sage.
Yes, and I am pleased to say you all have leveled up. Congratulations, you did it. You are now level 3.
Huzzah!
You have earned it. You did your first bounty. You've met so many people. You've been thrown into a world that's just so full of rules and nonsense. So you will be level 3 next time we play these characters. But I will say we have a very special episode planned for you all. So when we come back in 2 weeks, it is going to be an episode exploring what Tony has been doing during this time. Because, oh yes, she did definitely lie about being sick. But Sage and Katie will be there playing some helpers along the way. So it is going to be a good time, a wild time, a fey wild time, one might say. So make sure to be here in 2 weeks for that. And of course, before we go, we have to thank the incredible Patreon donors who make this show possible. So we want to thank all of our Patreon donors who donate at the Arnie's cohort level or the Ferris Drinking Mate, so our $25 and up level. So thank you so much, Cody Becker at CodyRolls4 on Twitter.
Thank you so much, Debbie.
And thank you so much to Curry, who is also one of the fantastic moderators on our Venture Maidens Discord.
Thank you so much, Curry! And of course, thank you to Muffin at the one on Drury Lane on Twitter. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you to Nissa McKinnon
and Richie113 on Discord.
And to our new Ferris drinking mate, Chris Ott, aka Targo. Thank you very much, friend. You all freaking rock. You all freaking rock. And also, awesome, excellent news. We have a new show that has joined the Penwich Studio Network, which is our podcast network. So we are welcoming Death to Divinity, which is the first all-fat, all-queer D&D actual play show. So we are so, so proud to have them. So you should absolutely check out their stuff. They also stream like us and then convert to a podcast. So if you love this like live play stuff, you gotta check out Death to Divinity. Two is not spelled T-O. It is spelled like the number two. All one word. So check out Death to Divinity. Good shit. We are so, so thrilled to have them. And you will hear more about that.
Big fans.
Yeah. An amazing show. So amazing cast. Amazing people. So they have just come on to our podcast network. So we are thrilled to be working with them professionally in that capacity. So that's it. I think that's all the business. So much good business and news.
So much good business.
I know. Well, you all rock. You all fucking rock our world. So until next time, everybody.
Venture!